Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro, trying to make sense of markets that make absolutely zero sense, none whatsoever. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Thanks for joining me today. You've noticed the crown has been repaired. In today's episode, we're going to discuss what is coming up in the banking system. It's happening now. There's a liquidity crisis brewing. Is too much cash actually clogging the banking system up? We'll talk about, what if I am wrong? Do I have a way out? Did I create a backdoor to the plan? Of course I did. And that we got economic data and all kinds of other stuff. So I appreciate all the positive feedback from the Wednesday episode. You know, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, you have to trust your research when you invest, because that's what investing is. I mean, how many people I've talked to that, well, I bought stock of this company because I have a cell phone that I bought from. They know nothing about it, nothing about anything about the company. They just bought a proc, so they buy a stock. Well, that's why I spent so much time doing research in the bond market, because my feeling is that there is going to be a liquidity event. I'm going to make a really strong case for what's going on right now and try to explain what's going on with the long end of the curve. But I find what's unique, and in fact, I talked to a fan of the show today, and he's like, you know, I've gone through all of your research. This is a real smart guy, just sold his business. And he's a real smart guy, and he said, look, I've gone through all your research. It's like, you're going to be right. It's just a matter of, like, can you hold on through it? Because if you can, it's going to be awesome, and then it's all going to play out. And I said, I know. That's why I told that story on Wednesday, is because I'm willing to hold through my thesis. Now, maybe you're not. That's cool. I don't encourage you to trade like me. I don't encourage you to invest like me. That's not right for you. But for me, I believe in my research, and research always comes back. So what is going on in the bond market? I mean, is this the end of the third year? Is this thing going to go to infinity and beyond? Well, there's a brewing liquidity crisis. And how do we know that? Well, we can look at the short end of the curve. And here you see the 1 month all the way through 30 year. And you notice 3 year to 1 month, the yields were down. In fact, the 2 years on the cusp of 0.1%, and that would be a tactical breakdown. Meanwhile, everything else is rising. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it depends on what's going on. If you think there's a liquidity problem brewing in the markets, then it makes perfect sense, because what type of maturity bonds are banks, do they want the most? 3 year and under, that's their bread and butter of what they want to buy. The banks don't normally buy a lot of 3 years. I mean, if you look at what a bank's position in bonds, it's predominantly 3 year and under. It's not the 5, 7, 10, 20, or 30. They might have some, but they're not predominantly owned. So I do think there's a liquidity crisis, but I want to go back to March. I put some notes together, and just, you know, they're probably out of order because many of you know that I don't edit. So let's talk about what happened in March and how it's playing into today. Because back in March of 2020, last year, there was a liquidity event. Now, what did that look like, in case you don't remember? Well, the stock market kind of went and said, look at that, boom. Now, what caused that? Well, there was a shortage of pristine collateral. What does that mean? T-bills. So there was a massive shortage of T-bills. Now, why was there a shortage of T-bills? Well, part of the problem was the Fed. And what the Fed was up to is, back in October of 2019, so right in here, they started buying T-bills as part of QE. Remember, they restarted QE and they bought T-bills, and they took this pristine collateral out of the system. And then, of course, COVID starts to hit. We see it coming from China and then rolling into Europe. And it was only inevitable that it was likely to come here. And the banks were scrambling for pristine collateral. They needed T-bills because they knew bad things were coming and they wanted to have it. Now, why do banks need T-bills? Why do they even care? Why don't they buy 30 or why T-bills? Because when you deposit money at a bank, right? So now I want you to think of the M2 money supply. So when you deposit money at the bank, it's a liability, right? It's not an asset to the bank. It's a liability. Your asset, their liability. And what do they have to do to that liability? What do you expect from them? Yeah, pay you interest. So that means banks got to get something so that way they can back that liability with asset, and this generates interest. Well, what do they use? T-bills, predominantly T-bills, two and three-year maturity notes and T-bills. So they needed that. Well, what was the Fed doing? It was mopping up all these T-bills that the bank needed. Now, this was exactly what Jeff Snyder and I talked about when I interviewed him. They needed this pristine collateral. They made the problem worse. Now, of course, we all know the Fed came in and Sorcerer JP waved his magic QE1 and did a bunch of QE in March, and that was allegedly what saved it. But what we know about QE and how it works, that doesn't actually fix the problem, right? That actually exacerbates the problem, creates more stress on banks. So who was the actual savior? Who was the hero? Well, I think it might have actually been Steve Mnuchin, the former U.S. Treasury Secretary. You say, well, how could he have done anything? Well, do you remember what happened in April? We'll see. Okay, so let's go back to March a bit here. So in March, we get the stimulus announcement, right, toward the end of March. Now, did the banks know this was coming? Remember, the banks are insiders, so they know, you know, when Congress is talking about doing something, they're going to hear about it before pretty much anybody because they got to prepare their side for this. So at the end of March, we get an announcement there's going to be stimulus, and then April, the stimulus check starts going out. But what did Mnuchin do? Well, he did something real interesting, and it had to do with the TGA, or Treasury General Account. And in April, or in March, he started mopping up a whole bunch of money. Now, how did he get the permission to do this? Well, the CARES Act had a provision in it that says, hey, you can go ahead and bring the levels of the TGA up to higher amounts. And why did he do that? Well, whoops, that's on the screen. Let's go to the trading screen real quick. And that is because short-term treasuries went negative. Now, the Treasury can't auction them at negative yield, but they went at negative yield. So he took advantage of that, and you can see right in here, into March, into April, this is right here, Steve Mnuchin's buying right here. So, okay, so he goes out and buys a bunch of this. Now, why does that actually matter? How does he become the hero in this crazy story? Well, the simple answer, my friends, where am I? Is if you ever go to the doctor because you have maybe an internal infection and it's creating stress on your body, maybe it hurts or causing problems with other things, and it's just filled with bad stuff that needs to get out of your body. So you go to the doctor and the doctor's like, hey, I know how to fix this problem. And you go, great. And then you turn around and he's standing there with either a scalpel or a needle. And you're like, hey, what are we going to do with that? And the next answer is, this won't hurt that much, right? Some of you, I've been there, some of you have, and next thing you know, it's getting lanced, or there's a needle being shoved in you and extracting the bad stuff, the infection. So what was the infection in the banking system? Cash, right? So you think of like, wait a minute, the banks knew all these stimulus checks were coming, and what did they not have enough of? T-bills, because who took them all away? The Fed. So you start to see that perhaps that Steve Mnuchin's plan to take all this money and put it in the TGA that really didn't get used for anything actually helped save the system. Now that's kind of interesting. So we go a little bit further now, right? Now what happens next? What do the banks tell the Fed? Hey, stop buying T-bill, you idiot. We need those things. And you're taking them from us. Stop buying it. So then the Fed comes out and says, we're going to shift our asset purchases to notes and bonds. Perfect. Now the bank's got its pristine collateral needs. So everything seems to be okay, right? But all of a sudden now we notice there's a liquidity problem again. How do we know? Well, that first chart I showed you is right here. You see, why are all these banks wanting to buy bonds? In fact, we can go to this week's Treasury auctions. There was a 28-day or 4-week, and look at this, bid to cover, 3.86. So 3.86 of the offer was bid. And look who's a big bidder, $90 billion from primary dealers, who are owned by the large commercial banks, against a $29 billion offer. Look at the low rate, they were willing to pay zero. They bid zero. Now they didn't get zero, went at 0.03, but that's pretty much they're paying zero to get these. There was another one, an 8-week, and look at it, 3.84, bid to cover, near $99 billion, not bottles of beer on the wall, bid against a little over $34 billion offer. Low yield, zero. High rate, 0.035. So, okay, that's interesting. So we know that there's a liquidity problem out there. Now, why does that have to do with the long end of the curve? Well, someone who has a lot of 30-year and is seeing this liquidity crisis coming, maybe they need to sell it to get short-term bonds. Now, is that necessarily the end of the world? Well, no, because if you understand why I'm willing to stand fast against the biggest onslaught of the bond market in history, is because from our friend Travis Kimmel, who sent me this chart, and what you see is the colors over here are short term all the way up to long term. So you have white being the shortest term all the way up to dark blue, the 30 year. And what happens, you can see the stress going in January 2020, low yields are going down and 30 year yields is trending higher. Remember, bond route, right? This is what Jeff Snyder talks about, bond route and short end. And he keeps saying, watch the short end of the curve. You're watching the long end, you're missing what's going on the short end, and the short end breaks down, the long end breaks down. So we know that what's going on here in the short end of the curve is going to eventually bring the long end back down. Now, why, of course, could this be a problem? Because the banks need collateral. What happened this back past December? What got passed? A stimulus bill. And what does stimulus bill generally do? Put money into the M2. Well, if money is going into the M2, then what do banks need? T-bills, right? The same process over and over again. Now, we know that there's another stimulus probably coming, but maybe checks won't hit until April. I don't know. But there's another factor going on here. Is, do you know what Janet, new Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, is going to do? She's going to wind down the TGA. So she's going to bring this down, I think, to around $800 billion, but eventually it's going to get back down to its normal $300 to $400 billion range. And you're like, well, why would they do that? Because the CARES Act gave them this limited opportunity to raise it. It's not allowed to stay up here perpetually. It has to come back down. So all of a sudden, how is she going to unwind it? She's going to cut issuance of T-bills. Are you starting to get how this is going to fall apart real quick? So not only is she going to cut the issuance of T-bills, she's going to drop two of the T-bill auctions totally. I don't know. I don't remember which ones, but they're soon to be gone. We're not going to have those anymore. So now all of a sudden there's this mad scramble for T-bills because there's going to be fewer of them. And she's going to still keep all the pressure on the long end of the curve. They're still going to be refinancing short term to long term. Now keep in mind, remember what happened back in March. There was a shortage of pristine collateral. Do you start to feel what's coming here? So we know there's more stimulus checks from December coming because they haven't all gotten out yet. And we know that the quantitative easing program leads to deposit growth. Not directly, but indirectly it does that. There's a demand for money component. So the TGA is about to drop this through a T-bill roll-off plan, which sounds really brilliant. And the banks need them. Now, if you were the Treasury Secretary, how would you play this? Well, I'll tell you what you would do. First of all, you'd use the fact that you're a former Fed chair and have bank connections to find out that, hey, maybe we shouldn't be, we should issue more T-bills. So what you would do is cut the issuance of intermediate term and long-term notes, maybe even short, but nothing under 3 year, and you would issue a boatload of T-bills and more 2 and 3 year. And then you'd call your former protege at the Fed, Sorcerer JP, and be like, hey, Sorcerer JP, you know that QE thing you're doing? It's really stupid. You should stop buying anything under 3 years and put everything at the long end of the curve because the banks are really stressed out right now. And he's not doing that, and neither is she. So do you see the problem is we have the Treasury's not issuing enough. And if you look at the Fed's purchases, do you know what three issuances of notes and bonds are both purchased by the Fed? 2 year, 3 year, and 30 year. And they're pretty much buying all the 2 and 3 years that hit the primary dealers at auction. So they're leaving no supply out there. So now does it start to make sense? There is a liquidity crisis coming. And what happens when there's a liquidity crisis? Well, by and large, you get this. You get a collapse in short-term yields, which we're seeing now, which drag long-term yields with it when things blow up. Now, what's interesting to me is there a massive short interest on the two-year. Now, we'll look at the rest of these on Monday, but you see the two-year treasury notes, right? There's almost 2.2 million contracts or bets being placed out there. And look at last week, the speculators or hedge funds increased their position, change 54,000 contracts. That's massive. I mean, it's huge. The total change was 54,000. So if you think about, there's a million short bets just from leverage funds alone, not talking about non-reportable short positions or anything, or even dealers who are holding a short position. So you have this massive short interest on the 2-year. Now, if the 2-year, someone emailed me recently, not too long ago, and said, well, that means the 2-year is going to have to go negative. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's going to have to go negative. And you're seeing this technical breakdown as the banks are buying this out. Now, what are they going to end up doing? They're going to squeeze all these people that are short on the end of on short end of the curve out. And then that's going to create a domino effect. Again, back to the chart Travis sent us, that's going to drive long rates down. So if you kind of ask this, like, how can I stand there, you know, against the all this hate of people selling the long bond? Because it's not going to last. Because once the short end of the curve breaks, all the rest of this unwinds and all these people are short are going to get unwound with it. But if that doesn't happen, well, I still got it out. All right, let's take a look at the economic data. Going back to yesterday, you know, we keep hearing all this talk about reflation, the economy is doing great. Well, okay. How about initial jobless claims came in at 779,000. The 4-week average is almost 850,000. If the economy is reflating, it generally doesn't reflate it with a lot of people losing their jobs. I know people say that. They say, oh, this is great for reflation. You know, people losing their jobs is not great. That generally hurts economic growth over the long term. Total unemployment claims remain down by almost 500,000 to 17.8 million Americans. We're on somewhere between a 4 to 5 year at best trajectory to get the job market back where it needs to be. I mean, that's bad. It could be longer. Is that reflation? Well, if it was reflation, right, where would we see it? At the short end of the curve. See, the short end of the curve is telling you everything. So if you're long, like me, at the long end of the curve, and you're like, man, this is really unfun right now, and, you know, it seems like the enemy is, you know, trying to convert your kingdom to theirs, you go like, well, wait a minute. The short end of the curve is collapsing. And that's going to bring the long end down. Let's go back to some of the data here that I want to look at. Moving into Friday, we have the non-farm payroll report. And this was, except for one instance, pretty bad. So if you took a look at the total payroll report, forecast was 50,000, actual is 49. That's pretty poor. The December was revised lower, 140,000 down to 227. And November, I don't know if this was also a revision. I just looked at the December, that was revised higher. This is not the trend you want. This is not the trend you want at all. Now, what was good is average hourly earnings were up year-over-year basis 5.4%. So those who are working are making more money, and those who are working also got more hours, 35 hours last week instead of 34.7. So the hours worked actually kind of offset the drop, the miss in the payrolls, but otherwise it was pretty grim. I mean, you look at private non-farm payrolls up 6,000. You look at manufacturing payrolls down 10. Where was the payroll growth, you say? Ah, government, 43,000 jobs, predominantly where the payroll growth is. Can the government sustain this and hire people? I don't know, but the rest of the economy, the part of the economy that generates inflation and growth is struggling. Unemployment rate down to 6.3. The U6 is 11.1. Let's go into the M2, which is interesting. I didn't bother pulling up the other charts because I figured we might go too long on this. The M2 actually fell a little bit. Remember, the M2 is supposed to be rising because of all these stimulus checks, but it's not. Savings deposits were actually down, and demand deposits were up, with institutional money funds virtually flat. There's a lot of talk on Twitter about the yield curve today, so I'd be remiss by not joining in on the fun. Now, if we look at the yield curve, I put this green line on there, and what you normally see is when the yield curve is at this level here, it usually means stock prices should be heading lower. You'll notice they normally don't do that. In fact, if you go right over here, you see the yield curve, and going straight down, you see stocks were already selling off. You say, well, wait, you're not including the 1970s. Look, the 1970s were very, very different. Mainly, the big difference in the 1970s is you had 2-year yields. I got 2-year and 10-year. They were rising together. You don't see that. You see this gap. So if we look at yields at the same level in the past, at a recession, yields should be falling. Two years should be collapsing. And they're, that would explain why, you know, why they're going to go negative, but they're not going negative. Here you see right at the same level. Yield should be collapsing. So it tells us the long end of the curve at some point should roll over. Here you can see it right back on this 1990 recession. Yields at this point, they're already falling before and they were really headed lower. So it tells us that what's going on here in the bond market isn't necessarily a reflation trade, it's a liquidity trade. And that's pushing us at a point where we're about to see potential replay of March. And so you look at the Biden administration, looks like they're going to get their stimulus package through at $1.9 trillion. And you start to think of it from the bank's perspective. Now, how much of that is going to hit, you know, actual bank accounts? Probably $500 to $600 billion. Well, guess what the banks don't really want right now? More cash, because more cash means what? I got to get more T-bills. And guess who, in her infinite wisdom and her new job, decided that, hey, we should probably cut T-bill issuance because that's a great idea. So what's going to happen is it's going to force the force short-term yields negative, which Janet Yellen has admitted could happen. It will. I mean, it's pretty obvious this is going to happen. And then all of a sudden, that will create a lot of pandemonium, as it did back in March of last year, and lead to everyone fleeing the safety of the long bond. Now, of course, like many of you, I wish the selling would stop, but look at the credit data. I mean, there's no sign of reflation here either. Look at bank credit. Now, that was up $48 billion. That's pretty good. But where did it come from? Well, securities and bank credit was up $45 billion. People keep saying no one's buying bonds. Well, the banks keep buying them, $20 billion in mortgage-backed. And lo and behold, they're back buying treasuries, $26 billion. There's some other factors here that I forgot to mention before. And that would be me actually switching the screen so you can see the numbers. Remember, the Fed's lost some of their tools too. Remember in December to get that stimulus package passed, Senate Republicans said, we want some of these things taken away. I think some of the Fed's repo programs are also rolling off this month if they haven't or soon to roll off. And then at the end of March, the SLR, which we'll probably talk about at some point soon, that's going away, and that means less lending from the banks. So there's a lot of things coming that are not going to help. Well, anyways, let's get back over to this chart here. And loans and leases on all commercial banks up a whopping $2 billion. Residential real estate down $6 billion. Commercial real estate up $2 billion. And consumer loans, right? Here's your, you know, consumer credit down $4 billion. And what's growing at banks? Cash assets up $39 billion. You know, if we look at, you know what I wanted to look at too, in the data was today, where is it? U.S. Oh, shoot, where is it? Is it down here? There was something on credit I wanted to show you. And I guess it's not showing up for today. We'll quickly refresh that and yeah. Well, anyways, so guess that's not going to work. But anyways, so here we are facing a liquidity crisis. It's an odd one because normally you think liquidity shortage. Maybe now there's too much liquidity in the system. And the fact that the TGA account is getting rolled down, plus the fact that the U.S. Treasury is cutting T-bill issuance, plus the fact the Fed is buying 2- and 3-year notes, you can see why there's potential panic. But for the bond market, well, yeah, it's ugly out there for sure. But when you look at the big picture, is all it's done is now is find support potentially back at its prior cycle high. Will this be the end of it? Will there be demand here? The answer is yes. But my friends, if there's one person that will stay to see the end of it, well, it'll be me. And if you join me, well, I'm happy to stand there with you. Thanks for being fans. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on the Sunday chart show. And then we'll dig more into the commitment of traders report on Monday. Brent Johnson already sent us some charts, so we'll get into that. I'll see you then. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment advice. This material is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by a selling security financial instrument or participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in the video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisor, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.